This is Logan Seculo. Today we discuss Christian school choice as it heads to the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. I'm joined in the studio by Will Haynes as well as Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We're going to be joined later by Rick Grinnell. We have a lot to talk about today. You know, we're about a year out from our school choice initiative launch, and there are things in development. There are things happening in the Supreme Court. As we said, Christian school choice is heading to the Supreme Court, and we are there as well in support of the parents and the students, because right now, Will, what's happening is that the Supreme Court, they are taking a case that came in locally in Maine. Is that correct? In Maine?
Yeah, that's right. So in Maine, it's a rural state. So many school districts actually don't have a public high school. So what the state of Maine does is it gives vouchers or credits to the parents so they can send their children to the school of their choice. It doesn't have to be in that district even. It can be an out-of-state school. In our blog up at aclj.org, it even mentions it could be out of the country. They can use this money to send their kids to the school of their choice, but with one caveat. It can't be what they call a sectarian school. So no religious schools allowed with this this voucher program.
And we've been talking about this kind of thing, again, for years. The ACLJ has been on the front lines supporting Christian schooling, and we are still there dealing with situations like these where Christian schools are what feels like throttled, held back just because of their beliefs and just because of their faith, and not just Christian schools, religious schools in general. And, you know, school choice is a hot-button topic. We've heard from the president. We've heard from, obviously, last year when we launched our whole initiative then in Washington, D.C. There's a lot that goes on. School choice is a oddly hot-button issue for something that seems very common sense.
It's really gained a lot of momentum during the pandemic, Logan, and for reasons that we have stated for a long time. And look, it's parents, not the government, that should have control for directing the education of their children. Clearly, they have the most vested interest. They know their children the best. And Logan, when parents direct the education of their children, it's no surprise that often they will choose a religious school. Those are schools that have traditionally done very well. And if you look across the country, Logan, this is one of the things that is the most encouraging to me. School choice is winning. All across the country, from coast to coast, school choice programs are being passed in the state legislators. They are recognizing the benefit of them, and they are winning until you get to this case in Maine that you're talking about, Logan. We have to fight these challenges for the benefit of the students that are making these choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ACLJ is here, and we are part of our matching challenge right now just to support the work of the ACLJ, which includes our school choice initiative. You may want to say, Logan, this is the middle end of July. Why are we talking about school? This is summertime. Hey, my kids are only 3 weeks away from school. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to believe it, but it's true. In schools, you're hearing it all over the news more than maybe ever about what's going to happen this coming year. And to make sure that you as a parent, you as a grandparent, or heck, even as just someone who appreciates the need for specific educational needs to be met. That is why at the ACLJ, we have our school choice initiative. We've been working on it specifically for a year, but we've been working on school choice for decades. We've been working on it for religious schools for decades. And I want you to reach out to us. I want to hear from you right now, 1-800-684-3110. If you have a question or a comment related to this, either how the ACLJ has maybe helped you in the past or could help you in the future in terms of these kind of specific schooling issues, you have a question about school choice, you have a question in general, I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open for your calls. Later in the show, we're going to hear from Rick Grinnell. We also have a great documentary series that is launched on YouTube, and we're going to play a segment from that, or specifically on education, coming up in a couple segments. You're going to see that as well. It's a jam-packed show, so I appreciate everyone who's been watching, everyone who's listening. If you're watching on Facebook, I encourage you to share it with your friends. If you're listening on Twitter or watching on Twitter, retweet it. If you're on Instagram, however it is, if you're on YouTube, hit the thumbs up, click that share button. We'll be back with more on Seculo. Again, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110, because I want to hear from you on today's show. Still in the matching challenge of the ACLJ, any gift is doubled. So a $10 gift effectively becomes $20 and so on. So go ahead and go to aclj.org and check out this new blog related to this by Walter Weber, available now on aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Again, we're talking about the school choice, not only school choice initiative, but a big news coming out of the Supreme Court this month, which is a case involving students in Maine who want to seek Christian school as one of their options in the voucher system. Again, school choice in the voucher system has been something that has been controversial in some ways over the last few years. I know there's a lot of people with a lot of thoughts and there's a lot of questions. We try to break all of those down and make it pretty easy for you. And we do that at aclj.org. You should take a look at the blog series that we have on it, as well as the video series. We're going to play some of that video series in the next segment. But specifically, the topic we're talking about is the fact that, as Than said, during COVID, things have changed rapidly in terms of schooling. People are realizing there needs to be adjustments and changes in schools, and the ACLJ is there. But in that same situation, the Supreme Court took a case because there were laws that were seemingly need to be probably hopefully invalidated that say, hey, school choice and voucher systems are great, but Than cannot be used for religious schools in general. We say Christian schools is probably the majority, but we're talking about any sort of sectarian school.
Yeah, that's right, Logan. I mean, we've been advocating from a federal level for a long time for the federal government to encourage states to do exactly what they've been doing over the course of this last year. Logan, by one count, Forbes actually did an article on this. By one count, there are 18 states that have enacted up to 21 new school choice programs. So they all look a little bit different, right? Some of them are vouchers. Some of them are tax credits. Some of them are individual student scholarships that are available. But the thing that they have in common, Logan, is that all of them give individual students and individual parents an opportunity to have an additional choice in where they send their children. And this disproportionately benefits low-income individuals, maybe students that do not have as many options as someone who is more affluent. So we've seen that laboratory in the states work. We've seen states expand these options. Unfortunately, when some states have expanded school choice, like such as in Maine, they will come with some strings attached that absolutely should not be there. If a student wants to take advantage of a school choice program and the parent of that student says the best option for my student is this particular school that has a faith-based component, Logan, that should absolutely be permitted. And under the framework of the Constitution, I think you could argue it should be required.
And Logan, as you've talked about, this is something the ACLJ has engaged in for decades. But at this case specifically, we filed an amicus brief at the appeals level The parents that were filing this case, they lost at the appeals level. And then we also engaged at the stage where we were asking the Supreme Court to take the case. We filed another amicus brief. So we've already filed in this specific case twice, and we will again when the time comes up in the fall. We will file again because it's an important case. These parents, they need options. Many of them, they don't have the public school to use. There just isn't in these rural counties for high school. So they want to use this money the state's providing to go to the school of their choice. And that's fine unless it's a religious school. And that's just where the discrimination against religious teaching and religious schools, it can't stand.
And I know a lot of people are shifting and moving. I'm curious, if you're listening right now, I'm curious, having the last year, for a lot of us, your kids were either home for portions of the year or they were, you know, there was different requirements or changes or Zoom school that have happened. But now we're a year out to that. How has your plans changed, or how has your educational plan changed for your kids or your grandkids? What are you hearing people doing this year? I'm curious, actually, as a parent, what your decision making has changed, and how the way you approach education as a parent has changed. Maybe you moved to homeschooling. Maybe you've moved to some of these, to a religious school. Maybe you've decided, we had that where a lot of the schools in certain districts were not open, the public schools, but the private schools were still open. So if you had a voucher, you know, potentially you could have been still in school learning. I'm curious. I want to know what your plans are coming up, because I know a lot of people are saying this is summertime, Logan, as I said, but no, we are only 2 or 3 weeks away from a lot of kids returning to the classroom. And what's that going to look like? And how can we continue to protect students and their personally held religious beliefs and your personally held religious beliefs? We do that work here at the ACLJ, and we've done it for decades, as Will said. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110.
And Logan, you bring up that, you know, this is a changing time, and we know that, as Stan brought up, the states are doing work to expand these type of programs, these type of credits and charter schools and things of that nature. But not everyone is necessarily on board with this.
I wanted to say this, actually, before we play this, I know where you're going. I thought with the changing of the guard, if you will, with the Trump presidency becoming now the Biden administration, that we would have no movement potentially on school choice. But according to some of these articles I've been reading today, and you've seen me, there is movement happening, but it's not necessarily coming out of the White House. And yeah, let's take a listen to what President Biden had to say in relation to school choice.
Back when he was running. Yes. Yeah.
No privately funded charter school would receive, or private charter school receive, a penny of federal money. None.
Yeah, not a fan of school choice, Than, but it looks like that a lot of states aren't listening to Joe Biden, as we've had many new programs pop up in the last year.
Well, let me tell you what that's all about, Logan. That is the teacher union influence on the left in Washington, D.C. It really is, because if you go to the constituency of either major political party, Republican or Democrat, what you saw during the course of the last year is that people got a taste of school choice as states started to expand it. And guess what, Logan? They loved it. It wasn't just Republicans that loved it. It wasn't just Democrats that loved it. It was parents and students that loved the opportunity to have greater choice in finding their education. So, look, I think President Biden is out of step with his voters when it comes to his position on this. But I'll tell you who is carrying his water on this. The United States Congress, Logan. I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about this in depth right now, but there is a move in the United States Congress right now to penalize states that expand school choice and to actually strip stimulus money from them. So, look, this has always been an effort that is going to have to bubble up from the state level. That's why we started our effort there. But if you move to Washington, D.C., Logan, the teachers union and the lobbies that surround this issue in Washington, D.C. are always going to fight against it. We're going to have to win it over their objection.
Yeah, and let's hear again from dudes. I think that is something we should dive into, and specifically about the teachers. Here's also Joe Biden, Byte 16, same event from then when he was running, talking about teachers and support of teachers. And look, we love teachers here. My mom was a teacher. We're surrounded by teachers. Obviously, everyone loves the teachers. However, you know, as we said, the teachers aren't there without these students, and the students are really the core. So let's hear from Joe Biden again.
And I promise you, you will never find in American history a president who is more teacher-centric and more supportive of teachers and me.
And when you hear that, that sounds very nice, very benign. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. That's great to be supportive of teachers. But Than, what you're kind of alluding to and saying is what that really is I'm supporting the teachers' unions. I'm supporting things that aren't going to be supportive of the parent and the student.
There's a big difference between teachers and the teachers' union, Logan. There really is. I mean, if you poll individual teachers, I think you'll find a great passion for providing quality education for students. That's what you're going to find. And with school choice, all of the empirical data shows that student education improves. Logan, the other thing that improves, guess what, is teacher opportunity. Because it's not like teacher jobs go away. Yes, some of them may shift from the public sector to the private sector or to charter schools or to other forms. But Logan, the very best teachers, the ones that are pursuing quality education for students, which I agree with you. I think that's the vast majority of them. Opportunities for them would increase as well.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of pushback on that, again, just because of the way it's framed. But when you look at it, it's good for everybody.
Well, and just the phrasing of teacher-centric. Education should be student-centric.
Right.
The teachers, I think, most teachers would agree it should be student-centric, not teacher-centric. So just using that word, saying I'm very supportive.
So. I'd hope so.
I would hope so. And the unions probably would not agree.
I've certainly met with some that don't feel that way. You know, I have had those situations with teachers. I think we've had them before. Where, again, we're very pro-teacher. Most teachers would feel that way. That you do feel like they feel at a greater superiority to the student that they are teaching. And yes, obviously they are in terms of where they stand, but in terms of who's getting the benefit of the job? Really, it should be the student. And look, you can go into a lot of different reasons why, but I would hope that you're right. We only got a minute. We're not going to take a phone call. Maybe we'll take a phone call in a couple segments. We got a lot of calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, what we're going to do is I'm going to talk to you for a minute before, but we're going to play you a great piece that was put together by our digital team. It is it's one of our More Than Ever videos that's been rolling out the last number of weeks. It's sort of our key topics that we have discussed over the last few years. The ACLJ gives you a good idea of the history of how we've supported students for the last 30 years and what we're doing, what we did the last year and what we're going to be doing now progressing forward. So you're going to see that in the next segment. I think it's an excellent piece. If you want to know more about the ACLJ, if you want to know more about why you should be donating and giving and supporting the work of the ACLJ, you're going to find out a lot of details in a really entertaining way in the next segment coming up. We also have Rick Grinnell joining us later in the show. We're going to talk about how Ben and Jerry's ice cream is no longer going to be sold in what they call,
occupied Palestinian territory,
a.k.a. Yeah. Israel. So we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. We're talking about, obviously, Jerusalem and those big regions of Israel. We're going to talk about that later in the show. Let's talk about school choice right now. Again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Right now, all donations are doubled during our matching challenge month of July. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Seculo, in just about 2 minutes, we're going to run this very special video presentation to give you an understanding of the history and the future of education and how it plays into the work that we do here at the ACLJ. It's an excellent piece. I encourage you all to share this right now. If you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook share, YouTube hit the thumbs up, and make sure you subscribe. That gets it into more people's feeds, because this type of news is not things you're necessarily going to hear on your mainstream television and radio news. You know, this is the stuff that we go and we go to court and we battle for you, and we support the work and we support students. And specifically, we support students and parents who want better schooling options. And look, everyone says it. Someone said it, like on the Biden website, it says Joe Biden will invest in children from birth. So regardless of their zip code, parents, income, race, or disability, they are prepared to succeed in tomorrow's economy. Well, Dan, we only got 1 minute till we're going to pitch to this video. But zip code there, you think, would imply something that clearly they don't agree with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they want them to be stuck in that zip code, to be honest with you, Logan. And look, I would just tell you this very simply and very briefly. This is a moment in time. This is an opportunity for school choice to win. We get these every once in a while on policy issues, but the pandemic clearly showed parents and students that school choice is a net good for them. Logan, this next year, this is why we're engaged in it. This is the opportunity to win it.
Absolutely. Hey, phone lines are open. We're going to take some calls in the next segment. So if you're on hold right now, we'll get you in the next segment after this video presentation. If you'd like to be on the air, there's a couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. Great time to call and get your phone, call screen and ready to go. 1-800-684-3110. Again, here's a great presentation by our great media team who put together. This is a portion of our More Than Ever series. This one specifically on education and the ACLJ. Take a look.
We've been working on school choice and defending it in court for decades.
Jordan Seculo told us that hundreds of families had contacted the ACLJ about suing school closure districts.
Coming to the education system was not a new move for the American Center for Law and Justice, for the ACLJ. We've been doing it since our founding.
School choice has been an issue that we have keyed in on, and we've argued all the way to the Supreme Court for decades, not just one decade, but decades. And now we're starting to see real results when it comes to school choice.
What we learned very quickly from many parents who were reaching out to the ACLJ is that their child had been left behind.
I'm very interested in creating a foundation of education for those folks in the middle income arena, as well as kids living in poverty, kids like myself who perhaps live in the wrong zip code, going to underperforming schools. I'd love to give parents the tool of choice. When parents have choice in education, I think their kids have a better chance of success.
More than 1,900 families contacted the ACLJ during the pandemic looking for help to get educational options for their students. And more than anything, we just wanted to be an advocate for those families, for those students. We wanted to find real solutions for real problems, for real students that were facing adversity.
And so we were faced with a lot of different issues where people were contacting us regarding their ability to let their kids go to school.
This is an administration coming in saying, we want to shut down charter schools. We want to only have public school options and then private schools for those who can afford it, which most of their kids go to.
The ACLJ occupies a very special space. There are lots of other places that do lots of important work for America, but the ACLJ has taken up a lane which is irreplaceable.
The More Than Ever campaign is all about reminding Americans that now we need the ACLJ more than ever.
Tonight, U.S. cases of coronavirus more than doubling, with two new cases in Southern California and one in Maricopa County, Arizona. The CDC confirming all five patients in the U.S. had traveled to Wuhan.
But what happened with the pandemic? Obviously, everything changed. So you had the need for alternative school situations, which involved everything from school choice to, during the pandemic, getting special needs of students met by their counties.
Schools were saying, we're going to go online. But these people didn't have internet at their home, couldn't afford it, didn't have iPads for their kids.
Some parents lacked resources, basic resources, such as internet or computers.
We literally had school children who were sitting on curbs near police cars in order to steal the internet from the police cars so that they could complete their assignments.
Not every student has equal opportunity in the sense that there's a huge digital divide in this country. So if you are in a rural environment or rural school district, in some cases do not have access to rural broadband. It also has significantly hurt our students with special needs and disabilities.
Children with special needs have special rights under the law, and one of the things that they have the right to is an individual education plan. And many of the children in this situation during the pandemic were not having that individual education plan administered. We were able to come alongside families and make sure that school districts found a way to give those children educational options during the pandemic. So I'm very proud of the role that the ACLJ played.
They were trying to pass, what happened was it was this kind of like broad-based, one-size-fits-all approach to education when you had special needs students that had special needs. And the county had the resources to do it. They just weren't forthcoming. And that's why we went aggressively on that issue.
One of the things that we want to impress upon people is the need, especially during this pandemic, to get kids back in school. That's very important for us, is to make sure that children are back in school, provided, of course, that the environment is safe all around.
Should parents have the option to use the tax dollars that are allocated to their child to send them someplace else that is open if they want them in school?
We need to get our schools back open again. We're the most innovative nation in the world. We can do it.
If your school isn't opening, don't accept it. It's your child. It's your money. Why should you pay for a service you're not getting? Reopen schools or give me my school money back.
It shouldn't be about where you live or what neighborhood you're in, about how good of an education your kid gets.
We are not having a problem based simply on resources. We're not having a problem based on zip codes. We are having a problem based on imagination. We're having a problem based on the circumstances that the adults find the kids, not that the kids find themselves. So if we teach to where we want them to go, as opposed to dumbing it down, we'd get high-performing students and high-performing schools in the poor zip codes.
Joe Biden is 100% against school choice.
If I'm president, Betsy DeVos's whole notion from charter schools to this are gone.
So that's a huge challenge we face pre and post-pandemic.
I think our efforts have to be ramped up exponentially during this administration.
The idea of school choice and the ability to have options for parents was something that the Trump administration understood well and put those thoughts and policies into concrete action so that there actually could be movement on those issues. We're already seeing a regress. As soon as you take away local control, as soon as you federalize everything, which is what's happening under the current administration, things change. And education is best served by the local community.
School choice is winning across the country. Parents, students, even school districts are realizing that giving parents more options is the way to accomplish this.
I think the pandemic has changed a lot of minds. In fact, I know it's changed a lot of minds on school choice. People are fed up.
We have been fighting for school choice. We've been fighting for religious liberty within public schools. And we have been fighting against attacks on private religious schools.
With the changes that are taking place in this new administration, the ACLJ today is needed now more than ever. And it's why I am so thrilled to be a small part of this really important organization.
Now more than ever, ACLJ is prepared to go to court if necessary to do the things necessary to get your children properly educated. We're not afraid of courtrooms, we're not afraid of judges, and we're not afraid of juries.
It is about saying, let's just give the American people a choice. We know public schools will improve. Some parents will choose private schools. Some will choose religious schools. Some will choose schools that have no religious affiliation. That's what we're fighting for at the ACLJ, but we believe that education is key.
And that's why we really believe that the ACLJ on the education front is needed now more than ever. We have an opportunity here. We have to seize it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will.
live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
This is Logan Seculo, joined by Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., and Will Haynes here in studio. And we are talking about the ACLJ's continual fight for students' rights and free Christian schooling education options when it comes to school vouchers, where there are situations like what's happening right now in Maine, where a Supreme Court case is being taken up that says, no, you can't say because it's a Christian school, you can't receive a voucher for it. You can't receive any school choice funding for it. So we're going to talk about that this segment. We have tons of calls coming in talking about people's current plans and future plans for schooling and education. I know, again, it sounds like we're in the heat of summer, but we are only a couple weeks away from a lot of students going back to school. I know for my kids, we are only 3 weeks away. It's depressing, but we are 3 weeks away from summer coming to an end and the return of school. And what's that going to look like in a post-COVID world, or in a world that's currently still dealing with a crisis that's been going on for over a year? We're going to be talking about that coming up in this segment. If you're on hold right now, I'm going to take a couple calls. That's going to free up some lines. So if you want to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110. We've got time for maybe one call for this segment, and then we'll try to get to all of them coming up in the next segment. Final segment, we're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell. Let's go first to Pauline, who's calling in Maine. Pauline, thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm a longtime supporter, and I send you donations when I can. I don't have any children. But I am just thrilled that you're taking on this fight for Maine. We just had a Catholic school close after 60 years, and and we're threatened. And I think that if you don't already have a foothold in Maine, maybe this will secure one for you, because I think a lot of eyes are going to be opened. This is a liberal state. And I called Senator Collins' office to tell them about what you guys are doing, and I intend to call the other representatives as well.
Sure, and I want to give you kind of a brief understanding of how this works. So this case has been going on for quite some time, and we are involved in the way that we are filing in support, filing a brief essentially in support, which we have. It's on the screen right now, of the students and of the parents who want Christian school option to be one of the options when Maine has shut that down.
And really, what it takes in a lot of these cases is a parent of students to have the courage to come forward and be like, wait, this feels like it isn't right. The school gives us, the state gives us all these options, but specifically, we can't have religious freedom in this area, that they're discriminating against religious schools. So the parents that then filed suit against the state program, and when we hear about this, this is one of the ways we get involved, is we file amicus briefs. We use our attorneys, our wealth of knowledge, the history that the ACLJ has had in cases like this, to file briefs in support of that case. We also will take on clients as well in other areas. So if you're listening to this and you're like, this sounds similar to a situation we have in our state or in our school district.
Yeah, or if you have any religious freedom issues or things that you just feel like, like Will said, you just feel like it doesn't set right with you, that this can't be what the law. And a lot of times, you know what, even your lawmakers, they don't even know the law. And that's just the truth of it. But that's why we have the ACLJ. You have the lawyers, you have the legal team, hundreds of people ready to jump on and to help you out at no cost to you. All you have to do is go to aclj.org and you'll see it right at the top. Get legal help. There'll be a survey you'll fill out kind of explaining your situation, what you're in need of. If it falls within our scope, you're getting connected straight to an attorney, and we are off to the races to support you. And we can't do that without, though, the support of the ACLJ donors, because the ACLJ, it's nonprofit, so that means there's no legal fees. You know, we're not charging people to represent them. But we have to have people who the lawyers still need to get paid. So what we do is you support us, we support the whole world. And really is the world. It's beyond just what we do in this country. But specifically with school choice, look, we have a petition right now that's demand school choice, give every child equality and opportunity of justice. It is available right now on aclj.org. If you're watching online, I think it's like posted and pinned on Facebook. There's about 79,542 of you that have already signed this thing. Let's get that up to 80,000 before the end of the show. We got a couple segments, so click that button. It's on aclj.org, or if you're watching on Facebook, you'll see it right there. Go quickly sign and support the work of the ACLJ and put your voice to work. Also, give us a call. We have three lines open, 1-800-684-3110, and those on hold, I'm going to get to you in the next segment. That's 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Seculo again, Logan Seculo here. Hey, I want to say, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Some of you guys during the break hung up. So we got some open lines. That doesn't happen that regularly. So if you're listening, you're like, I've always wanted to talk on the radio. I've always wanted to hear my voice spread to millions of people, my opinions. I got stuff to say. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and go to Martha, who's calling on line one in Alaska. Martha, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Welcome.
So I am a public school teacher here, and I also have children who go to school. And I just wanted to say that I would welcome school choice. My principal and I actually had a conversation about this last year, and we disagreed. He thinks that school choice would hurt the public school system, but I think it would actually help, especially parents who are struggling during this time. I know that we've had a lot of parents who have chosen to do homeschool as an option. There aren't a lot of choice options within our community because it's Alaska and we're a small place. But I actually made the choice this last year to send my own children to the local private school, which is faith-based. My husband and I had thought about it for a long time, but we'd never really done it, partly because of financial reasons, and we decided this year because of COVID and school starting remote again that we were going to send them to the Christian school because they are in person.
Sure. I think that is the you know, just for teachers. Obviously, that shows you the real plight people are in, Will, when you hear a call like Martha's where people are dealing with that true fact, which is that a lot of Christian schools and private schools were able to open, fully function. Maybe they had mask mandates, but that's just based on local laws. But we're in at least give you the option to be in person across the board last year, or at least coming up this year the same. So when you hear that call, a teacher herself who's coming from the public school saying, we need school choice. Not only do we need school choice, we need school choice specifically for religious schools because they're the ones potentially who are doing it differently and maybe are not only just giving your kids a great education, not only instilling them with great spiritual values, but beyond that, are able to do different things like get in person when a lot aren't.
Well, and Than brought this up earlier, right? That last year kind of opened up the doors and eyes in many ways to people that maybe school choice is necessary when you have something like a pandemic and you don't have choice to go to school in the public schools. So a lot of states, as we talked about, did start to make these maneuvers. But then With this latest stimulus package that was passed just early this year, right after the Biden administration got in, and it was not a bipartisan one like the five that were previously under the Trump administration, it had a provision in it that said that states could not directly or indirectly offset revenues. Well, a big revenue offset, so a tax offset program, is a school choice. That would be an indirect revenue offset for many of these states. And then we actually represent 78 members of Congress in one of these cases and 74 in another that was just a win in Ohio. But this plays right into what the caller was talking about, how if a state sees a need in the middle of a pandemic, now the federal government was stepping in and saying, you actually can't do this, or we'll have to claw back this stimulus money that we've given to the state.
Yeah, the caller actually sets this up perfectly, Will, because look, if Alaska were to enact a school choice provision, and by the way, Alaska is a perfect candidate for this. You talk about spread out landmass, a lot of rural families. They would be a perfect state to expand school choice. But under this provision that you're talking about in the most recent stimulus bill, if they were to do that, Will, anytime between now and 2024, if the Department of Treasury found that it was going to have a net reduction in tax revenue to the state, which many school choice programs do, It's a choice to invest tax dollars back into students and families, which is a natural application of those funds. But if the Treasury Department were to find that it was going to reduce revenue, they would actually say, we're going to come back and we're going to take your stimulus dollars away from you. They're actually going to it's essentially a prohibition on any kind of a tax cut and in any kind of school choice expansion. So, Will, you're right. We are filing in defense of the states who are challenging this. We got a good ruling in the state of Ohio that found that Ohio has standing to challenge the case, and a permanent injunction is in place in that case. And Will, there are 14 states now challenging down in Alabama, led by West Virginia. Another state actually just recently joined that application. They intervened in that suit. We're waiting for a ruling there, but we think the ruling in Ohio will carry in that case as well. And I just think it's a great example. While these school choice initiatives have to bubble up from the state level, they are going to get opposed at the federal level. But we can stand with states and actually push back and win in the courts.
And this is also the type of case that, because it involves the federal government and the states, that we had a win in Ohio on it. And if we get a favorable ruling or a split ruling in this other case, it's the one that could go up to the appeals level and then eventually up to the Supreme Court. And because we are representing members of Congress on our brief, it's something that we could see engagement at the Supreme Court level, representing both ACLJ members and members of Congress potentially going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take another phone call while we're here. Let's go to Terry, who's calling in California on line three. Terry, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I am in a fairly conservative area here in the state of California, and our local school districts are pushing back on the mask mandate, saying there's no, you know, medical necessity for it. Things are fine. We're opening up. We're doing great. But our state of California is pushing the entirety of the state and all school districts and all children to be masked. So I guess my question is, how do we as parents fight back that legal requirement?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure specifically on the legal issue that you're having with the mask mandates. I know that they are going up and down and changing every day headed towards school. And I know people are concerned about specifically what school looks like going into this coming year. First, I know I was waiting that email as well as to what that was going to look like for our school area and for our schools. Thankfully, it looks like that won't happen. But it does seem like there are ways that parents can hopefully make choices and can have ways to move in different things. That's why we really do have a school choice option. We hope there's a school choice option for a lot of people, and we fight for students' rights at the ACLJ. And at aclj.org, you can find out so much more information about that.
And to Terry's point as well, so there's things like the mask mandates or whether it's the curriculum or things of that nature. What we did see over the past year is that a lot of times, because of the pandemic, some school districts or school boards used that as an excuse to exclude the parents from the decision-making process. And so, yeah, I mean, look, broadly, that has been a problem.
A problem forever, Than, that teachers, parents just simply sometimes need to speak up because they have the right to stand up for their student and stand up for their kid. It doesn't just have to be demanded. This is how they're going to learn. This is what they're going to be told. Because not beyond masks, beyond that kind of thing, even the topics that are brought up and the conversations that are had, you should always get involved and know that you do have a lot of rights as students and a lot of rights as the parent.
Oh, look, things like curriculum and the hours that school is held, how busing happens, all of that, Logan, is handled at a local school board level. We've always advocated for that because it gives parents the most opportunity to engage. So you're right. I think any kind of a pushback against any concern you have inside your school should start at that local level. And Logan, that's frankly, it goes hand in hand with why we do advocate for school choice, because then even after you've advocated, if your local school board makes decisions or too many decisions that you just can't go along with, don't think they meet the best your kids' needs as well as they should, then you will have the option to go elsewhere. But Logan, without that school choice, many times parents are left without an option. So even if they advocate, if they don't get something that is to their satisfaction, they're kind of stuck. So I think advocating at local school boards and a school choice program, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have some other calls coming in. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get to them. We're going to do our best. Let's see if we get through here, because I do think students' rights and parents' rights are at the forefront of what the ACLJ has been doing for 30-plus years, and whether that's in terms of how you can express your faith, how you can express yourself, how a student can get the proper education and the best possible education, make sure your kids are learning what you want them to be learning and not being told some agenda that you are not in favor of, and that massively a lot of people are not in favor of. Is our phone call ready? Are they not going to? Ready now? Okay, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to that phone call coming up. Hey, in the next segment, we have Rick Grinnell joining us. We're going to talk about the BDS movement, which you've obviously heard about, the boycott, divest, and sanction movement of Israel, and the latest move to it, which is that Ben and Jerry's ice cream, yes, maybe your beloved fish food, maybe your beloved Cherry Garcia, is no longer going to be sold in the what they call the occupied areas of Palestine, essentially, which are, of course, Jerusalem and major areas of Israel. And what that looks like, not just them, that sounds silly, but what this means for the global impact of Israel in products being sold and things moving forward. And also, how certain areas of this country, if you start pulling that kind of stuff, guess what? You're going to get pulled from the shelves yourself. So we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, I'm going to encourage you to do it right now. Go to aclj.org. Not only would it be great to share this broadcast and share the blogs and sign the petitions, but make a donation today, because donations for the rest of the month, for the next 10 days or so, are doubled, which means if you give $10, there's someone on the other side, one of our great ACLJ members said, I'm going to match up to a certain amount. So as much as you donate, it gets doubled, which is awesome. That means double the effect of your donation, double the amount of work at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
To Secular, we're joined by Rick Grinnell. We're talking now about, we're moving from school choice, which is an important topic, something we need to be keep discussing, but we're talking about what's going on in the world of Israel and the BDS movement, and specifically what you may have seen and what you may think is a silly headline, but I think we need to break into what the serious nature of something like this is, which you have someone like Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, an American-based company run by two Jewish guys in Vermont. Very predominant liberal company. We've known that forever. This is not a shock that Ben & Jerry's would do this, but maybe made one of the biggest moves that we have seen in terms of the way trade is happening in Israel and said, hey, we are putting a stop to the sales of our products, our ice cream. Yes, we're talking about ice cream, but you're talking about one of the biggest brands in the world in the, what they called, Will, what'd they call it?
The Occupied Palestinian Territory.
The Occupied Palestinian Territory, aka Jerusalem, those areas of Israel. Rick, you've been involved in the BDS movement, the anti-BDS movement, for a long time. I know you were calling on people saying essentially you're joining an Iran regime. You made big statements about this, because I don't know if people understand. I mean, you can't imagine those kind of things happening anywhere else in the world. It seems like Israel, it's the only place that it's allowed.
I actually think it's a really distorted sickness that many American companies are doing this. And I would lump in, protests like the U.S. soccer team into this. What is crazy about it is that Israel, in that entire region of the Middle East, is the one country that values human rights and pushes for the rule of law and capitalism. I mean, let's just take, this to the next level. And I think it's not too much to say that Ben & Jerry's ice cream is boycotting a country that is solidly for human rights and in favor of a territory that on a daily basis discriminates against people, including gay people, including women, including Christians. The idea that somehow they're doing good by punishing the country that is a beacon of human rights in the area is a sickness. I just don't see how it's an upside down world, and I don't see how people can view it any other way.
Rick, you were instrumental in one of the biggest anti-BDS movements in really history, with both the Abraham Accords and the Serbia-Kosovo recognition of the State of Israel. That did more, at least for me, to push back on the BDS movement last year than a lot of things have in recent history. Now they're seeming to get a foothold. Now it's a friendlier U.S. administration. How do you see this playing out when you have nations that historically weren't recognizing Israel kind of on the opposite end of the BDS spectrum now?
Yeah, that's such a good question. You know, a couple of thoughts. One, U.S. leadership is required. I mean, you know, multilateral institutions and very little works if the United States is not the leader. And so I would call upon the Biden administration to recognize that they're speaking to a few radical people inside the government. And the second point, which relates to that, is I actually think the people are on our side. When you talk to regular people, they understand that Israel is the democratically elected. I mean, how many elections have we had in Israel over the last 2 years? And you compare that
continually, yeah.
Right. And then you compare that to, the Palestinian Authority, which Abbas is in his 15th year of his 5-year term, right, from 2005. And so the upside down world is only recognized by these very few radicals inside governments and inside multilateral institutions like the UN. But regular people know, and regular people are with us. And so I think it's incumbent upon many of us who support Israel, Christians, Jews, even Muslims, who recognize that Israel is a protected country and should be a protected country, that we all have to articulate exactly what's going on with companies like Ben and Jerry's. It's wrong. And again, it's an upside down world that they have. And I think that they're going to suffer from it. Yeah. I don't think that sales are going to increase.
It's an easy, you know, kind of silly story sounding to trivialize that the sale of ice cream is a big deal. But what it is, like you said, it's a much bigger problem when it becomes Ben and Jerry's, and Ben and Jerry's turns into your next company, which is the next company. And all of a sudden, the corporate world feels like they have to react and they have to start doing this. And we've seen that snowball roll. I was talking to someone recently who was, you know, what you would say was canceled, you know, a famous person, and said, oh, but what we did, we started going around the country and realizing that, wait a second, just because the media had said, no, we're not going to book you anymore. No, you're not going to be on TV anymore. No, you're not going to get this. Guess what, though? They go town to town and sell out shows day after day after day, because the normal people who actually are the audience, not the big corporations, they're not taking it that way.
Look, I think it's really important that our listeners and viewers that are listening to this discussion, that they not just be outraged if they're in their car or at home listening, that they not just say, oh my gosh, that's terrible. What kind of world are we living in? But there are things that you can do, and we need the masses. And I would say there are two things that you can do if you're listening. One, you have to support the ACLJ. We are able to go after and file in court, which is where I think we can win more often. Legal challenges, we highlight these issues. You've got to have an organization that jumps on this immediately and organizes all of us. That's the ACLJ. And two, I think on this specific issue, when you go to the grocery store, I would ask to speak to the manager, and I would say, you know, I just want you to know I'm not buying Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
And make that grassroots point that Ben and Jerry's have made a move and you don't agree with it. And so therefore, because they are doing a BDS move, you're going to also vote with your pocketbook.
Yep.
And you're going to tell the manager that you're not buying that ice cream.
Yeah, this is not a just small decision corporately. You can go, I can get past it. You know, this is a major decision from a major company.
Right. I mean, they're owned by Unilever.
Yeah.
It's not just Ben and Jerry's. Isn't just a small company.
Anymore.
It's
yeah.
a division of a very large company that produces a whole host of products.
Yeah.
So just, that's also to remember that as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are commenting that as well. Look, I've never been the person who's like, hey, boycott this. Don't do this. Yeah, we're obviously, that's specifically what they're doing. But guess what I'm not doing? And I certainly will not be purchasing Ben and Jerry's ice cream for the foreseeable future unless major changes are made. And not that it was, you know, necessarily the big thing that everyone was going to right now is Ben and everyone, you know, it's Ben and Jerry's craze right now. It's not the 90s anymore. But it still is a major company that people need to respond to and react to, and don't treat it lightly because it sounds like a funny thing with ice cream being pulled. You're talking about people who, and again, it always hurts the people.
Right.
You never decide to, you know, they never decide to hurt the governments. You say to like go after what's going on, actually the problems in some of these regions. It's let's punish just the regular people in Israel.
Who do you think is selling the ice cream in
these
places? It's shop owners. It's small business owners.
Well, Rick, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll continue to discuss and keep this conversation going, because I think it's something that's sadly just bubbling. And we'll see where it goes. And we've been on the fight in the front line of the BDS, anti-BDS movement for years. We're going to continue to do that as well. School Choice, I want to appreciate all of you who listened and called today. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of Seculo. And until then, do go to ACLJ.org. Follow us on all our social medias. Like, share, subscribe. Do all of those things. And, of course, donate, because it is part of the matching challenge right now.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A
A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.